Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to The Fringe of It,
episode number 46. I'm nervous, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God.
It's been how many months? July, August, September, October, November, December. It's nearly been 7 months.
It's mad. But we're back.
We're back. With a bang?
I know.
Let's maybe not promote the bang because it might not have a bang.
I know.
It might be crap.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts. Everyone's talking about podcasts. And I'm just like, I feel like we're out of the loop. All these bright young things.
I know. I feel like a nana. I was like, what do we even record on?
What is this?
Bang the microphone.
Is this thing on?
I'm not sure. The little lines on my laptop are going up and down, so let's hope for the best.
I know, but apologies that in 7 months the audio will still be the quality that it has been since we started.
But do enjoy this free content that we're putting out.
Oh, gosh, you're slugging. But how are you?
I mean, where to begin?
I know.
I don't want to apologise too much for being away because I think we needed it.
I think we needed it. I was just saying then, like, I felt really excited to record.
Yes.
Excited. But I think where we've just both been so busy and burnt out with other work, not burnt out, but just when things, life is demanding, that sometimes you've got to put a plate down.
And this was the plate. We're both married.
Oh, my God.
I've been on a honeymoon. Are we calling that honeymoon?
We've considered a honeymoon.
You have pushed out a book.
I know, which could be out by the time this episode goes live.
Yeah, who knows when, like, we're recording this at the end of January. Who knows when it's going to be out in the universe?
Summer is beautiful at the moment.
What date is your book out, Liv?
It's the 6th of February.
Right, hang on, let me consult my diary. This could be out the morning after your launch.
So if the book is out, you can read it now, if you wish.
No, firstly tell them where to pre-order or just buy it, because we're not sure which side of the fence we're on.
If you're pre-ordering, you can pre-order on Waterstones or on Amazon. It's called The Insecure Girl's Handbook. And yeah, it's on those places.
Tell them the tagline, I like the tagline.
Oh, join the club, then learn how to leave it.
Brilliant.
Hey!
So good.
But if it is out, you can get it from all good bookshops, including Oliver Bonus. So if you're walking by, you can always dart in. And
you're doing a little tour as well.
I am.
We're just getting straight into the plugging.
I know, thank you very much. I'm doing a tour which is 4 dates at the moment.
I want to know how to get tickets. What do I have to do?
Well, hopefully at this point the link will be out, which will mean it's available. Hopefully there will still be tickets. I'm sure there will, because it will just be like my mum and dad.
Oh, hi.
And Charlotte.
Yeah, I mean.
But we're doing dates at the moment in Liverpool, Manchester, Edinburgh and Bromley.
Oh my God, I'm literally that Bromley one. Sorry, I've just found a new spot on my chin that I hadn't registered before.
Oh, God.
Sorry. You're literally Stevie Nicks.
I feel like I was talking to one of my friends the other day, and I was like, I need a tall wardrobe. I was like, do you reckon I could be like Mrs. Maisel and expense it?
I reckon.
To the publishers.
Doesn't the taxman want you to, like, embroider your name into your clothes? Or, like, it has to be, like, I don't know.
Don't tell me this. That's one thing I found about January, is I find it really anxiety-inducing when people tell me the things that their accountant or tax person has told them, because I'm like,
Well, I think the rule is, like, no clothes unless it's for work. Oh, do you know what? I'm not even going to get into it, because I'm going to have emails and people are going to be like, you can't expense that.
Yeah, no.
Do you know what? Let's just cut this bit.
I think the best... Yeah, let's cut that. But I think the best rule for tax returns is just to do it your way. As long as it's legal and you're paying money.
Yeah, as long as you're actually paying your tax. Cough, cough. Masters, companies, cough, cough.
Yeah, I think as long as you're paying your tax, then do it your way.
And we got into tax quite quickly.
We did.
Let's move on. How's your January been on a scale of 1 to 10?
January has been, I'd say, a six.
A six?
A six or a seven. It's not been bad.
That's all right.
Yeah, no, it's been good. We went away to New York, which was amazing. I love New York so much. So we've been to New York, and it's just been like a fine month.
I can't believe that was in January. It feels like a million years ago. That's how long January
it's
is.
It's been a long month. How has yours been? I know it's been a bit like...
Yeah, mine's been knickers. Is that pants?
It's been knickers.
I've been ill. I was ill before Christmas with food poisoning, and then I've been ill with this virus. Like, not even a cold. Like, I don't even want to... I can get on with a cold. Yeah. I can do things. This was not. And then also, as well, I had like a 50-day period cycle. Like, I had to wait for my period for 50 days. So I felt like I had PMS for 3 weeks, which was...
That's intense.
Yeah, it was a lot of tears.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm out the other side now. And I'm not sure if that's a coincidence that it is the 29th of January or... I don't know. It's my hormones. Who knows? But I'm investigating all that further, so I will keep everyone updated.
Maybe you need, like my Love Island minute, you need your PMS minute.
Just like to talk about my hormones. What else have I been doing? Oh, actually, I wanted to talk about Ray. I always say to Liv that I should have like a Ray buzzer. Every time I talk about my life coach, we should just like hit it. Yeah, because I'm like, Ray says... And Ray says, but Ray said that January actually is a really useful month. So obviously it's so easy to busy your mind with like Christmas and work, and some people use alcohol and all these different things. But January is so quiet. Well, it is for me. Other people, it may be like August or I don't know. But it's time for like all those feelings that you're trying to like suppress that just bubble to the surface. And you're like, oh, I might have to deal with that reoccurring feeling that I get all the time.
I do quite like that. I know there can be a lot of pressure in January for like resolutions and new things, but I do like a fresh sheet. Like, and I feel like you can do that any time of the year, but I do kind of like the fact that it's quite linear and you can be like, right, what am I focusing on? Mm. Kind of like having a bit of space to kind of figure things out a little bit.
Yeah, I think reflecting is really good. I think what I've done before is like tried to tackle the clean sheet before the reflection. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's good to kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, so I've done like a lot of sorting. Like, I don't know if you've seen my Instagram stories, but I mean...
To the point where I had to like intervene over messages where I'm just like, I can't get a WhatsApp back and she's painting a bloody wall again. Like, Jesus, you painted it a month ago.
I know, that's happening as I speak. But yeah, it just feels really good. Like, you know, just really boring things. Like when you're a grown up, like we had a compost bin and it was just really gross. Like no one ever wanted to touch it.
Yeah.
So now I've moved... the bathroom bin, which is now our compost bin, and we've got a new bathroom bin where it's got one half recycling and then a smaller component for you know, just things that can't be recycled.
Because the problem with our bathroom bin is that you should put everything in there. You put toilet roll holders, you put like your contact lenses, you put all sorts of things. And then who wants to go through it at the end?
Yeah, I'm like the person that stood at the big bin sorting out my bathroom and in my dressing gown. And to be honest, I'm done with it.
Yeah.
I was listening to A Beautiful Mess. They've just released a podcast. I say just. I mean, I don't know when it came out, but I've been listening to them all. I find it really, really comforting while I've been sorting. And I think Elsie was saying, like, if it bothers you every day, like, do something about it.
Oh.
And I was like, yes. So
I feel like I need to write that down. Literally, I've got a notebook in front of me.
Sort the bin out. But I've just been doing, like, really boring stuff like that. And just getting rid of stuff so you can actually put stuff away and hang stuff. And
yeah.
I don't know, just so the house actually functions, and I think we should talk about the shared notes function that I discovered.
Oh my god. But on that topic, just tidy space, tidy mind is so, like, it's cliche for a reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, there is that phrase that I haven't actually thought about. Yeah, I should have maybe thought about that sooner.
You're like, oh, wow, that is the last piece of the puzzle.
I thought I'd invented the wheel. Liv and I, like, I haven't seen you for ages, and we were just having a bit of a chat about... like the running of a house and like living with our husbands now, and you know how they still got our nerves a bit, you know. But like just like not teething problems, because we've been together, both been with our husbands for like a decade, but just like the running of a house sometimes can just cause a bit of friction. And the shopping list is one in our house where it just isn't efficient. Like, it's just not run efficiently. Yeah. So I discovered, and I don't even know how I discovered it, that you can share notes with another human on
it
is on an Apple iPhone. I don't know if you can do it on like Android or the other phones that are available. And not only that, but you can turn it into a to-do list. So actually you just press it and it ticks it off. And it like live updates and gives you a notification when the other person's updated it. We've now got three different lists. We have the shopping list, the food planner, whatever that's called, meal planner, that's the one. And then like general life to do, like check out life insurance, sort the pension, boring things
that need doing. Yeah, that's the thing. And we were talking a little bit about emotional labour as well. When you kind of ask somebody to do a task and you're like, at that point, they should write it down. Like, that point, your husband or your significant other.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, then I'm having to still remember it. And then it's like, I can't remember everything I've asked for help for.
Yeah. Like, so with the shopping list thing, for example, like, because we didn't have a system, even I should have just had a pen and paper in our kitchen, but we didn't. So I'd be like, I don't know, using the butter, because I seem to run out of butter a lot. Maybe I should slow down on the butter front. And I'm like, we need butter, but I need to remember to write it down where.
Yeah.
And or like the next time Jack goes to the supermarket, because he does a lot of the shopping. Whereas now I just get my phone, put butter in. He's seen it. I've seen it. I can just let it go.
And your toast is sorted.
Is dry no more.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my January. Exciting.
I know. January's always a funny month for one reason or another, I think.
Yeah, I feel like next year I'm ready for it.
I feel like next Jan I need to book a sunny holiday.
I thought this, but then I was like, I can't operate my entire life booking sunny holidays in January. So I need to find a way to deal with it. Not to like, you know, I'll...
Not to piss on your parade.
But I'm like, you know, a sunny holiday seems like a great option, but how can I deal with it if I'm not getting any sunshine?
No, that's true. How have I dealt with it? Because I felt like I've avoided largely... I've been stressed, but I've avoided the blues. How have I done it?
I reckon it's that trip to New York.
I mean, that probably bloody helped, didn't
it? I mean, it helped me. I was like, has she updated Instagram yet? Is she awake yet?
I've got my diary in front of me. I'm like, what have I done this month?
Rather than sit watching you read your diary, we should move straight on to Teletubbies. Yeah.
Just as a note, we have kind of themed this episode as a bit of a telly and film roundup of last year and this year, because there is so much to catch up on. And we haven't checked in, and this is our favourite thing to talk about. And there is so much to talk about, so we thought, right, we're going to dedicate it to film and TV.
I'm worried that we're not going to, we've got 45 minutes, and I seriously have watched the entirety of Netflix.
Where to begin?
We've got a new sofa, which I'm thrilled about. And it's, I don't know, 3 months old, and already my bum imprint is on there.
Oh, it's got like a space.
Yeah, because I've not moved. I've not moved. I have to take myself for walks. I mean, the luxury of being freelance. But, you know, as soon as June's in bed, that's it, telly.
Yeah, I'm so impressed, because I feel like you're the Netflix queen, and I feel like I'm the terrestrial... I don't know, there's not another word for this.
You might be talking about this, but I put terrestrial TV on the other day and I nearly fell off my sofa. There was that masked singer on.
Oh, my God.
What is that shite?
I mean,
I bet you love it.
Do you know what? Love would be a word. I don't love it. I just, it's that thing where we, like, me and Joe sit down and Joe kind of rolls his eyes and he's like, oh, what is this? And then before you know it, we're both kind of like going, oh, I hate it. I can't turn it off.
Yeah. Jack and I, because yeah, we just watch, we have like 50 million subscriptions. So like Apple TV, Now TV, Netflix, like it's ridiculous. And then every now and again, we catch terrestrial TV and we're like, what is going on? I thought I was on drugs.
It is bizarre. Like, Joe showed me a really funny tweet, and it was like, guy wakes up after 5 years and turns on TV, and it's like...
The Masked Singer.
And that's the thing, and I, like, I don't... Like, it, as a concept, you're like, who signed this off?
Yeah, like, I just want to be in the meeting rooms. But anyway, I'm not going to give any more time to that. Tell me what the first thing is that you've been watching.
Oh, my God. So, I've got two lists. I've got films and TV. While we're on TV, let's start with TV, because I feel like...
Let's do it.
You've got a lot of TV to share, but one of my favourite programmes of last year and this year that I have, like, I feel like every time I meet someone, one of the first things I say to them is, have you watched Steph Let's Flats?
You're obsessed.
And the next thing they say is, say that again. Because it's like, I'm like, have you seen Steph Let's Flats? And they're like, I literally don't know what you're talking about.
Where can I find it? Because you keep telling me to watch it, but I feel like I need to remember where to watch it.
It's 4 on demand.
4OD. I'm not there a lot. That'll be why.
Yeah, so it's basically about a letting agency run by a man and his children. Staff is one of the letting agents. And it's just this really silly comedy about him going and letting flats with people and just the things he gets up to. And it is so ridiculous. but just like kind of weird humour, but just so silly.
Yeah, there's catchphrase central to be had. That's where I want to get into it, because you keep doing the catchphrases and I'm like, I want in.
Yeah, there's a few things he says that I keep repeating to people, and if you don't get it, you're just like, I'll be like, oh, silly Billy Awards, and someone's like, okay, that's nice. But it's just the funniest thing. The episode's like 25 minutes long, so you can just fly through them.
I love an under half an hour show.
So it's Jamie, Demetri and his sister, and they are both exceptional. They're so funny. If you, like, you'll recognise, if you've watched Fleabag, you'll recognise him from the first episode of Fleabag. He's the guy she meets on the bus with the teeth, who I think she refers to as Rodent Man. But it's incredible. Like, I think it's one of the funniest shows.
Right, I'm going to put that to the top of my to-watch list, and I know I say this to you a lot, but I actually mean it.
Yeah, it is brilliant, and I was at a party. Oh my God, there's no way of saying this without sounding like a wanker, but I was at a party, and he was there. And
you didn't grab him.
I touched his arm gently.
And you interrupted gently.
I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm just saying, I'm a really big fan of Suffolk Spice. He was like, oh no, I'm just really stupid. And I was like, no, you're not. Aww. He's like, but I think he's like quite normal and self-deprecating and just like very
our favourite kind of person.
And yeah, to be normal, you must self-deprecate. I don't encourage that at all. But yeah, I'm completely obsessed with it. So that's the first thing on my list.
What's next? I'm trying to read your list upside down.
Oh my God, this is like the most obscure list of anything ever. I'm going to quickly talk about something I don't think you've watched, because the rest I know you have, and it's Baby Chimp Rescue.
Why have you not told me about Baby Chimp Rescue before?
Because I've only been watching it the last few weeks, but it's on BBC Two.
Oh my God. I'm already dying.
And the thing is, they show it on a Saturday morning as well, like an omnibus. So,
well, June, I love that.
Oh my God. And it's like a really, like, it's not one of those animal programmes that you end up brokenhearted. Like, obviously, that's sometimes the state of the world and it will break your heart. But this is just so...
Baby Chimp Rescue. I just need to log that information.
Honestly. And it's just about like rehabilitating baby chimps, and just, I can't.
I might even cry.
Honestly,
at the
it will make you broody.
I mean, I just saw a very small baby, and I'm already there.
Oh, they're just so precious, and the couple that run the sanctuary. Like, on one of the episodes, they're in bed with all these chimps and their dogs, and they're like, oh, no, it's not ideal. And I'm like, it looks ideal. It's so perfect. It's so gorgeous. And there's a chimp called Jojo who is just, like, so cute and naughty and takes people's hats. And, oh, honestly, it is amazing.
I'm in. What else is on your list?
So there's Baby Chimp Rescue.
Look at me over the table.
Dairy Girls.
Just cannot wait for you to talk about.
Dairy Girls.
Yeah, I mean, it's the best.
It's amazing.
Do you know what's great? You know how bad my memory is. I've watched series one, and then series two came along, and I just watched series one again, and I could remember bits and bobs, like the fish and chip shop, but my memory is so bad that it was just like watching it again.
That's how I mean, I've not watched series two yet.
It's exceptional.
But I'm in love. Did you watch the Bake Off special with
Dairy Girls? No. And I'm so, only because, again, I just didn't know when it was on. I needed a Radio Times. I nearly bought one at Christmas because I thought of you. Yeah. I knew you would have done.
It literally sat at the bottom of the sofa and I was like, pass me the Radio Times, dear. But it is amazing. And as well as being completely in love with it, I also watched, what's the quiz called? What is that quz called?
What on earth was
Mastermind.
That? What earth was that?
Mastermind.
I don't think I've ever seen Mastermind.
So Dylan Llewellyn, who is the guy in Dairy Girls, was
that
on
poor
it.
Guy. I mean,
I fell in love with him.
He's amazing.
He just seems like the nicest, most gentle, kind person in the world, and I'm obsessed.
What was his specialist subject?
Quentin Tarantino films.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
He was really good.
I think Claire's my favourite.
So I'm obsessed with Claire.
Do you know why I'm obsessed with Claire? Her face. Her facial expressions. Like, that is me. Just like constantly like...
She followed me on Twitter over Christmas.
Oh. And I was... Wankerbell.
I know. Always on it. Can we cut that bit out to sound like a little
person? No. I'm not cutting it out. I refuse. It's staying.
I've got a dustpan for all the names I'm dropping. But I'm obsessed with her. And I feel like I want to keep...
I feel like one of the Dairy Girls was photographed with Jonathan Van Ness.
Yes, it was her.
Yeah, it was her. I was right. Yeah, see? Like, my memory was like, no, you're wrong. Yeah. And I just saw those two on Instagram and I wanted to be there.
Yeah, wanted to be in.
What were they talking about? How much fun were they having?
Oh, not enough.
I've just checked IMDb, and Derry Girls is back for season 3 in 2020. I don't have a date, but just bring me more. They're so funny.
It's just so easy and joyful.
It's so interesting as well, just kind of like looking at the politics of that time, because whilst we've kind of all grown up with it, I don't know, I've just kind of gone off and researched stuff after the episode, because whilst it's, you know, it's meant to be a comedy, actually it touches on some really important kind of history and politics. So we're getting educated at the same time.
I wish it had been out when I was studying my GCSE history, when I was doing History of Ireland. It would have been a really, like...
Did you do GCSE history?
I did.
Was that a choice?
Yeah.
Interesting. I did RE just as a
side note. Really, do you know, I remember quite a lot about, like, history for GCSE.
Now. I would do it now, but at the time I was like, nah.
We did, like, history of medicine, history of Ireland. That was quite interesting.
Oh, that does sound
history,
good.
A-level history, less so.
Yeah.
It was more intense.
Right, what have I been watching? Okay, I'm going to mention something I know you have watched.
Okay.
And that is Modern Love.
Hey! I'm, like, starring it. Yes, talk to me.
So...
I'm up to episode 5.
Okay, so there's 8... go on.
I've read the book, so I know all the stories.
Fine. I got the book afterwards. So it's an 8-part series on Amazon, and it's based on a column from the New York Times, and it's also a book, which we both have. And I just think it's brilliant. Like, I just think it's like love stories, but in that they're all like complex, messy, and nuanced glory. Like, it's not like traditional Hollywood boy meets girl, they fall in love.
Yeah.
Like, and I just think it's brilliant. And the Anne Hathaway episode is my favourite. I don't know if you've seen that yet.
I have. And do you know what? When I first started, because obviously each one is directed by a different person.
Yeah.
So each style of the way it's shot is so different. Mm. And when I started watching that, I was a bit confused. And then I read the book in between and I was like, oh my God, this has articulated it perfectly. Mm. Like, she has done such an incredible job. And I watched it and it's amazing. And it communicates something that I think I was like, it helped me understand something so much more.
Yeah.
And I feel like, do you want to explain? Cause
I don't know. I don't want to ruin it for anybody, like what that particular episode's about. But yeah, I'm not going to ruin it. But I just, yeah, like you say, it articulated it so well. I feel like I'm up and down in my moods, but not to that extent. Like, yeah. I don't want to ruin it. I'm not going to say any more because you're not sure throughout the episode. And then at the end, you're like, oh, okay. But I just thought it made, like, being humans okay.
Yeah.
It just made me think that nobody's got a clue what's going on. And I just loved it. And the kind of spontaneity and, like, randomness of life. I just think it's brilliant. And Andrew Scott and Dev Patel are in it, please. Please.
What's your favourite episode?
The Anne Hathaway one. That Dev Patel one's pretty great.
The Dev Patel one is.
Dev Patel. Can we please dedicate
a
whole...
I can't wait to watch David Copperfield.
Somebody just messaged me and I can't get the babysitting that I need to get to the cinema this weekend. Normally, like, it's fine.
Can you not take June for David Copperfield?
I don't think she's going to appreciate
she
it. No, I know. I took her to see Frozen 2 and she thought that was absolutely rubbish, so...
Can you not put her in another one? Right, we're going to put you in...
Yeah, there's Toy Story 4 and just be here when we get back, yeah? Yeah, I thought it was great. And the book, I don't know which... Because I was trying to think... Is it better to read the book, watch the show? Whereas I'm watching the show and reading the book. And actually, normally I would say read the book, watch the show. But I watch the show and I'm reading the book and I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters. I feel like, in a way, I like the fact that I read the book because I feel like I can. It's like bringing those stories to life. Because I'm like, I know the characters. I know like the kind of intricacies of their life, which perhaps you don't get from the TV or bits you miss out by, like, from vice versa. But I think either way you can do it and it's still like, oh my God, it's like that. Because I'd watched the first couple and then read them again.
Yeah.
And they both compliment me. They're so accurately and beautifully told.
It's so good. And that's been confirmed for season 2 as well.
Ooh.
I did my research before I came in.
I'm so impressed.
I can't decide what to tell you about next. I really want to tell you about...
I feel like there's going to be a few things that I've not seen, so you might do it.
I've got sweaty palms.
Oh, you
like...
definitely go then.
Okay. The Morning Show.
Yes.
I need to talk about The Morning Show. It's on Apple TV, and it was intense. It's really good, but it's really important, and I think here I should put a trigger warning in about sexual misconduct and sexual assault. But I'll give you a brief synopsis. Actually, a similar film's just come out with Bombshell in the cinema. Jack just went to see it, but I was like, I need a break.
Yeah.
I can't, it's kind of like the same premise, but this was so good. Let me reference my notes. It stars Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Steve Carell, and to summarise, Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell, Mitch and Alex, nearly forgot her name, they are the co-anchors of America's top breakfast show, which is called The Morning Show, and they've been doing it for 10 years. And the opening of episode one is that Steve Carell has been fired for sexual misconduct, and it's just, it's 10 episodes. They're going to do a series two as well. And I watched it in 2 days. The ending had me screaming, like jumping off my sofa, like it's really explosive. I just loved it. And I think everyone should watch it if they feel that they can, just because it's such a relevant commentary on the kind of Me Too movement, like blurred lines. Because at first, don't want to ruin it, but you're kind of not given all the information. So you're kind of like, oh, what's the line here? And there's like another story of a relationship. There's like all these different threads. So you're kind of like constantly questioning. Like Jack and I like kept pausing it and being like, we kept discussing different points, which I just love.
I think that's such a sign of a good show.
Yeah.
You have to pause it and then be like, wow, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah. And I need to talk about Billy Crudup, who is Russell in Almost Famous. Yeah, he's in it. And he plays the best character. He's like the CEO of the network that actually like runs the show. And he just really enjoys playing with people. He's like the cat amongst the pigeons. And he kind of plays this like Joker-esque character. And he's so good. And Jennifer Aniston actually won a Screen Actors Guild Award for her role. And I was really peeved because the only thing anybody spoke about that night was her and Brad Pitt and those pictures. And I was like, they should be talking about The Morning Show, the issues in The Morning Show, and how great her acting is, not talking about her frigging ex-husband. Like, I don't know. It just got me really mad because I just think that it's such a good show. And I'm not one for like tense, you know, like dark shows.
Yeah.
And that's probably as dark as I would go. Brilliant. Watch it.
Literally written it down. I should be talking about The Morning Show.
In the show, they refer to it as TMS. I didn't figure that out, that they were talking about TMS, as in it was an abbreviation until the end. And then I was like, oh, that's what they've been saying all the way through.
Oh, The Morning Show.
Yeah.
So I literally was thinking of things that was like too much sex.
So they keep mentioning TMS and I'm like, And Jack was like, you didn't get that. And
I didn't. Then I had to, that took me a good few seconds.
Talking about something a bit not as great, but I couldn't help myself. So I went onto Netflix to watch Grace and Frankie, which is back for season 6.
Yeah.
And I'm working my way through that. And forgive me, there was the Goop Labs.
Oh.
And before I knew it, I was on episode 3. I just couldn't help myself. I think because there's been so much press about it. And, you know, when things are so hyped, it's normally like Game of Thrones or some murder mystery. And I'm like, can't watch that, not for me. And I was like, I am fascinated about how they've even made this into a TV show. Anyway, wasn't a pile of shite. I've said shite so many times. So if I read a few articles about it. So I think it was Medium who like rated each episode by how scientifically accurate it was.
Right.
And some episodes are like, yeah, actually, this, because they get like a specialist in to discuss like whatever topic it is.
Oh.
The episode that got like a gold star was episode 3, because it's all about vulvas and women's anatomy. And they show like all these different like vulvas and not vaginas. Like Gwyneth Paltrow didn't know that one was a vulva, one was a vagina, like the different parts. And it was just amazing. It was like talking about women's orgasms. And I was like, this is better than any sex education I've ever had. First episode was about psychotherapy and psychedelics as a treatment for mental health issues. And they were all taking mushrooms, but it wasn't just like they all were just doing drugs. It was like done in like a controlled environment. And then the second episode featured this guy called Iceman, who basically like meditates in ice and does like workouts in the snow, and he's all about like the mind over matter.
Oh, wow.
And then the third episode is about the female anatomy, and there is this sex expert and orgasm specialist called Betty. Betty is 90. At a push, I would have said Betty was 70.
Wow.
This woman is incredible. Anyway, so the Goop Labs, you're going to love it or loathe it. But I did read another article that said it was the gateway drug to Goop. And I can totally see how you get there. And then, you know, episode 4, I switched off because it was all about food and anti-aging. And I could feel myself getting triggered. And I was like, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, after reading that article as well, I was like, I can see how this is a slippery slope and the criticisms that Goop gets. But
I guess you have to take it with a pinch of salt.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing, I went into it with an open mind, and then episode 3, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen so many actual real life vulvas. Yeah.
Oh, tonight, speaking of vulvas...
We're here now,
which obviously won't be tonight in real time. It will be on demand. But on Channel 4, there's a documentary with Jadira the Slum Flower called Bring Back the Bush.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all about pubic hair and why it's become really taboo for women. And it's on. It's going to be on at 10 p.m. tonight. But another thing which I'm really interested to see.
Yeah, I just think it's great that these things are getting more and more mainstream. So, you know, the more things on women's health and sex education, is it on your list?
It's not on my list. That's another thing. About 4 people have told me, face-to-face, Liv, have you watched it? You will love it.
You will love it. Have you not even watched Series 1?
No.
Liv. So it's back for a second season, and it is just wonderful. It's actually filmed in Wales. And so the writer, Laurie Nunn, and the director, Ben Taylor, said they wanted to play homage to John Hughes' films, so like Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Breakfast Club, and that's why it's set, like, it's just really stylized. But again, like, I kept pausing it because the production values are so good. Like, they've got drones of all these, like, beautiful forests. It never rains, which is interesting because it's filmed in the UK and in Wales. Yeah. And it is a bit ambiguous, and it's got criticisms. And I'm like, let it just be a beautiful thing. Like, actually what they're talking about is very real. And, you know, so why can't we have, like, a really beautiful set and wardrobe and... Yeah, the production is amazing, but like, it's really inclusive, and the cast and the complex stories that get told don't often get a lot of airtime. Gillian Anderson's incredible. I don't think I can decide who my favourite character is in Series 2. There's a new character called Raheem. He has this like sexual confidence. He's amazing. There's like an episode about douching, and Raheem's like, just explains douching without laughing. Like, he's French, he's really sophisticated, and I'm just like, let's all be more Raheem. Yeah. Like, he's amazing.
And not be embarrassed.
He's amazing. And I just...
I feel like I need an explanation now.
Yeah.
PG Purvis over here.
Yeah, well, you'll just have to watch Sex Education.
I want the Charlotte explanation of douching.
You're not, like, I'm not going to do it justice. But basically, there's another storyline, which I won't spoil, but there's a character called Amy, and she's really sweet and lovely. And something happens to her that, you know, I wouldn't want to happen to any of us, and it, you know, it shouldn't happen. And that's a really... It's not a nice storyline, but how it wraps up is really lovely. And then there's a character called Maeve, and I'm fuming. I'm actually fuming with what happened to Maeve.
Is this the finale that everyone's...
Everyone's enraged, and they're not going to find out if they have a third season until the end of January. They're going to get a third season, like, there's no way, because the whole of the internet's talking about it. But I was like a bit grumpy once it finished, like for 2 days. I was I'm a bit pissed off that Sex Education has finished. But I just love it, because I was actually looking back last year, and I think I put off watching it because it was so hyped, and then I watched it and was like, this is
remarkable,
incredible. Like, it's hyped for a reason. And Eric as well is also just one of my favourite characters. They're all my favourites, and I love them.
I'm so excited.
And please watch it. Please, please, please.
There's another hyped programme that we haven't spoken about. Since, I think it was just before we finished. And it was something that I was desperate to talk to you about. And we actually haven't spoken about it.
We haven't.
And that is Fleabag.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Because you hadn't watched it.
No, I hadn't. I watched it.
And I know, I think that's how you felt similarly. You thought it was overhyped.
I just thought, it's brilliant. You know, more shows by women need to be written. More kind of subjects of that kind need to be written. I don't know, maybe on a second watch, I'd love it even more. I liked it, but I thought it was overhyped, but I can see why it was overhyped. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there isn't enough of that. But I just kind of thought that everyone was just maybe a bit horny for Andrew Scott.
No.
Like, and I mean, I am. Yeah. Like, I mean, and yes, I always have been since Sherlock.
We all absolutely were.
But then, saying that, like, the in-jokes, like, some people dressed up, you know, as Fleabag and her sister for Halloween, and I was like, this is genius, and then I still use the in-jokes, and if I ever use a GIF on Twitter, which is rare, I'll look for a Fleabag one, so I don't know.
I feel like the second time I watched it, I mean, I watched
I would like a second watch, it was great, like, but I don't know what's stopping me from loving it.
I feel like, when I watched, I mean, I didn't watch the first series when it came out. So I watched the first series as the second series was happening because my mum was obsessed and she was like, you have to watch this. And I watched it. I remember the weekend I watched it and I literally binged it. And I was with my mum and she was just like, oh my God. And I was just like, obviously desperately horny for the priest. But I was just like...
Sorry, you said the word horny, I'm done.
You were like, I can't believe you said it. Nana said it. But it was just like, I don't know. It was... It's just, it made me like, you kind of, you hate her, but then you really want, you're rooting for her the whole way.
Yeah.
And it's, you're just like, oh, like, she frustrates you, but then you're like, oh, I cannot get enough.
Yeah,
she's not a likeable character, but she's such an interesting, relatable character.
Yeah, I just think it's great, but I think there's other shows out there that don't get the same recognition that they deserve. That are better? I don't know. But they can all exist. Like, why do we have to pitch them against each other?
I feel like it's had such a journey. Like, from being at the fringe.
Yeah.
I feel like it's been such a process to get to this really hyped stage. I'm almost kind of like, yeah, brilliant. About fucking time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, I'm obsessed. I feel like it's one of those programmes. Like, it's going to probably sit for me with Pretty Woman and Notting Hill and things I can just watch at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I don't like it. I did like it, so I actually don't know what I'm saying. Do you know what I mean? Maybe I can just shut up.
Maybe it's one of those things, like when a band get famous, you're like,
I'm still furious about Kings of Leon and Sex on Fire.
Maybe it's the Kings of Leon.
You know, she deserves every inch of her success.
So talented,
like,
yeah.
You know, great
but
news
so
on this Amazon
deal. So do the Fallon Brothers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure. They did, like, really desert their roots. But anyway. A show that I... keep going on and on and on and on about and not enough people watch is Pose.
Yes.
So season two has just, well, it hasn't just come out. It was last year, but I just want to talk about it. It was so good. I've got my mum watching it. And what's great is my mum calls me after the episodes and she discusses the issues.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot about how black transgender people are viewed by society or treated by society, and I learned so much from watching it. You learn so much, but you're also entertained as well. And I'm not saying that, you know, you shouldn't just watch a program just because it's educational and you have to be entertained all the time, but the way that Pose does it is just incredible. And it's set in like the 80s, early 90s, during the AIDS crisis. I've spoken about it on here before, but what's interesting about season two is they just keep educating, but at the same time, it's brilliant. And you're just on this roller coaster. You're like, am I crying? Am I obsessed with those sequins? Like, am I, like, it's just so, there's so, it's just, blah, blah, blah. I don't even know how to communicate it. I've got one friend that watches it and we like talking on DM. She's like, I'm just not over Pose. And I'm like, I don't think I'll ever be over Pose.
Okay, I'm going to write that down as well.
It's sensational. And the fact is, so my point that I was trying to say about it set in the late 80s, early 90s is those issues are so relevant today. Unfortunately, it's 2020, and like, have we moved on? I have no idea. But it was great for my mum to watch it, as I say, and we like keep having these conversations, and it's bringing those conversations to the forefront more. So I just think it's really important.
Oh my God, I am desperate.
What else is on your list?
So with TV, there's one more thing, and that's Love Island. And I know you don't watch Love Island, but I was wondering.
Where's my timer?
I was like wondering.
Where's my timer?
Could I ask for a Love Island minute?
Which Love Island is this?
This, the one that's on now.
Is that UK Love Island?
Yeah.
I just thought it was like another Love Island.
No, so basically this year they're doing two. They're doing one at the moment in winter, when we most need it, when we're cold and miserable and need an escape, but it's filmed in South Africa.
Oh, fine. This is where I got confused.
Yeah, so it's going on at the moment, and it's just started, and it's finally getting a bit spicy. If I can have a Love Island minute, I can start up in 1 minute.
Fine. I figured out that you can do a timer on Google. It has a very aggressive sound. Yeah, it's really aggressive. Hang on, 1 minute coming up. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Steady, go.
Okay, so I thought it was a bit of a slow start to the series. There wasn't really anyone that I was really warming to. I was a bit like getting frustrated. I feel like Connor was very insecure. I don't think he should have gone, because I was just a bit like, oh, I feel like, although he had toxic tendencies, I feel like he was quite misunderstood and also was very insecure by himself, and he was trying to address it. He was like, I'm uncomfortable. Anyway, at the moment we've got Paige and Finn. I did like Paige, but I feel like she gets angry at Finn for things that she does, which I'm not totally happy about. Shanice is actually someone that the Disney things kind of sometimes I'm a bit like, what? But I really like her, and I'm happy she's like finally getting a bit of a break. Rebecca, unsure about. Leanne and Mike, gutted. But I feel like she could have articulated it better, but good for her for being vocal about the fact she didn't want to be with him. And I think he handled it really well. I've got one more thing. Wallace, I think, is a bit boring. But it could change.
3, 2, 1.
Oh my God!
Is that not really, like, how aggressive is that?
It's good, I did it. And I think I wasn't too rushed.
I zoned out. I don't even know what just happened.
Okay, well, never mind. But I have got a huge list of films.
So. I've got one more TV show to talk about.
Okay,
you go. Just want to give a polite mention, because I think everyone knows who watched it.
Yeah.
And that's The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. But I don't feel like we can get into it. I feel like a whole episode. My words are stumped because we love it so much.
The end. I couldn't believe it. I was fuming. I was like, how dare they?
Not as much as Sex Education, I'd like to add. But something that again, Jack and I talk about, because he works in TV. This is why I always mention him a lot. This is like, TV is kind of like a religion in our house. Now, you can't have a Kit Kat now. Put the Kit Kat
down. I didn't think the sound would pick it up.
Put the Kit Kat down. But we said, like, where is series 3? That, like, the arc had to do that. Because
yeah, it had to. That was the only way.
What was going to happen if she followed on that trajectory? Did I use that right?
You did.
Oh, my God. My word of the year to 2020. You know, where's it going? We'll just have more of the same season 2. Fine. I'll have more of the same. I can't get enough of it. But what was interesting, I thought, I'm talking about it, is you can see that they've got the budgets now. And did you notice every single episode opened with like a really long camera shot? So, you know, like Goodfellas, when they're going through the kitchen.
Yes, yeah.
Every single episode opened.
Had that big.
Yeah, it was almost like you were just waiting for it to cut. Like, we were both watching it. Like, when is it going to cut? When is it? Yeah. Like, this is incredible.
It's so beautifully done. Like, I think even if you're someone that just didn't love the storyline, you could just watch it and be like, what a visual feast.
I nearly got into an argument with my mother-in-law, because she said that she didn't think Series 2 was as good as Series 1. And I said, no. I said, you're wrong.
I felt like... So we're on Series 2 or Series 3?
Oh, hang on. What series have we just watched?
So we've got the first series, Catskills, and then the tour.
Sorry, Series 3. Yeah. So she said that Series 3 isn't as funny as the other two. And I said, you're wrong.
I would put Series 1, 3, and 2 in that order. One the best. I think it's going to be the best, because you're getting to know everything.
1, 3, 2?
Yeah.
Fine. I'll take that. Catskills is a pretty series.
It's a pretty series, but not much happened. Yeah. I feel like you could take that out and you could still pick up everything.
Fine. Okay, yeah, I'll take that. But yeah, I think, you know, I don't want to bring it up again. Me and my mother-in-law have agreed to disagree.
I just... Shy, honestly.
I don't know what to say. But I just want to go somewhere where I can get dressed up and come down the staircase.
Well, that, I'm waiting for that opportunity. Hopefully at my book launch next week.
Yeah.
There are no stairs like that. I might get some notes.
There's about 10 stairs at your book launch.
I mean, maybe I might ask them to see if they can add some stairs in.
Yeah, can we just get some more stairs? It's just the best, the most visually stunning thing I've ever seen. But yeah. I just thought the relationship between Susie and Midge this season was just, they were making me howl.
Yeah, I love it. I love them.
Susie is just...
She's so brilliant. So brilliant.
And the costumes and the scenery and those beach umbrellas by the pool.
Oh, and I still love Joel a bit. I still love Joel.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I'm really confused.
I know. Are we horny for Joel as well? But then I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, you're fucking useless. What is wrong with you?
I know. And what's Lenny Bruce?
Oh.
I think I'm horny for Lenny Bruce.
I feel like I'm horny.
We can't make this a thing. And we can't keep saying horny. This is awful.
Oh God, what a terrible start. And the doctor.
The doctor?
Horny for the doctor.
No, but I'm glad they addressed that whole situation.
Yeah.
Because I was a bit like, what's going on?
Yeah, where's he gone? What's going
on? Yeah, in the best hat I've ever seen. Like, I didn't know if I loved that hat when she had that showdown with him or hated that hat. Yeah, I was so confused about how I felt about that hat.
That's a lot.
I just want to talk about a TV show that I have named my my comfort blanket show.
Ooh.
Which is what I put on when I'm eating dinner. We're not eating dinner at the table at the moment. We have breakfast and lunch there, but dinner, we're eating in front of the telly. I'm sorry, it's winter. Or if I can't go to sleep, either of us can't sleep, we put that on and fall asleep. And that's not to like, it's not a bad show. It's just I've seen it that many times that that's what we do. And that's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And I was just, but there's a new season out on Netflix and there's a new season coming soon as well. But my comfort blanket show used to be Sex and the City and then it was Friends and then Friends got a bit problematic and I just can't with Friends. Like, I'll watch it and then you're just like, ooh, it has dated really badly, which is fine. It was great at the time. It was what it was. But Brooklyn Nine-Nine is my comfort blanket TV and I just wondered what your comfort blanket TV was.
What is my comfort blanket TV? I feel like Escape to the Country or just anything that's like kind of a bit cosy. And it's like BBC, like, actually I love George Martin's House to Home. It's like a renovation-y show, but... he just basically...
Which one's George Martin?
Is it George Martin?
No, that's not George Martin. George Clark.
George Clark.
Who's George Martin?
Who's George Martin?
Isn't George Martin the race driver from Lincolnshire?
Record producer.
No, what's he? That's Guy Martin.
George Martin's a record producer.
Yeah, he was the Beatles record producer.
Yeah, he was the Beatles.
You're talking about... you're not talking about Guy Martin, who is
George Clark.
Yeah, George Clark.
You know...
Nana's do a podcast.
Yeah, welcome to the Fringe. George Clark's House to Home. Old House, New Home. God almighty.
Is there an episode of that in Margate?
Yes, there is. Yeah, yes. I just love watching
with
it.
With lovely Joe, yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, sorry, just name dropping.
Dustpan. But I know, I really like that. I do like Escape to the Country, because it's just like a cosy programme. I like a cosy watch.
Yeah.
Anything on Terrestrial?
Terrestrial. Well, that's the thing, because we...
Bake Off.
Oh, I feel... Go on.
I've been watching Junior Bake Off, and that is where it is.
Was there a person on there, I can't remember their name, but he was literally the funniest young boy I've ever come across.
Amazing. It's like, it's what Bake Off kind of used to be, like when before people used to get stressed and anxious all the time, because Paul is just like Mr. Fear. It is so wholesome and wonderful, and Prue is wonderful. And is it Liam? Who was on the...
Yes, Liam. Love Liam. And what are they going to do? Who's left? What is her name? Memory escapes me. Noel and...
Oh, Sandy. Sandy's
Yeah.
I'm hoping it could either... Well, JVN.
I mean, Jonathan Van Ness. Yeah, he photoshopped himself in an Instagram and was like, everyone thought it should happen.
That's got to happen. So JVN would be an amazing shout. Or Julian Barrett for... Boosh.
Yeah.
I just don't think we'll be that lucky.
No, I just don't know who's going to do it.
I don't know.
I'm intrigued, that's all I will say. They've got to do something with Bake Off, give it a little bit of a zhuzh.
I think so.
I'd go for Joe Lycett, to be honest.
Oh, we love Joe Lycett.
Well, I know that he does the sewing show, but I just love him. His Twitter is the funniest thing.
So good.
Like, anyway, films.
Films, what have you got?
I'm just going to agree with you on... Not agree with you, but I think I know what you're going to start with.
Okay, so I don't know where to start because there are three big films that I loved last year we haven't spoken about. Stressful. Rocket Man.
I've watched Rocket Man about 400 times.
So brilliant.
I'm obsessed with it.
Did you love it?
I just thought it was the best thing ever. And do you know what? I don't want to get into it, but I'm already here. But like, that I can see now why Bohemian Rhapsody was trashed by critics. I get it, because that is the story that, well, not the story because they're different people, but yeah, like the way that they embraced Elton and like told it all right. And I can see now how like Bohemian Rhapsody was like censored.
And I feel like it was very linear and very like proper. I loved Bohemian Rhapsody. I would watch it until the cows come home.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah,
I could see, like, I feel like Rocket Man was quite theatrical and a bit trippy and a bit crazy. And also, one thing in it that I wanted to flag with you was when he phones his mum and she answers saying her phone number, and I was like, it's not a myth.
Oh, it is not a myth. I wasn't lying. There's a really great podcast called Distraction Pieces with Scroobius Pip, and he interviews Dexter Fletcher, the director, all about this. But it's really interesting because obviously he came on board halfway through Bohemian Rhapsody, and he like really talks about the differences. Like, not that they have to be compared, but you know, they're two biopics. That's a really great podcast to listen to. But Rocket Man, Rocket Man came out in what, like June, July? Oh, hang on. Is this going to tell me when Rocket Man came out? I went to watch it on my birthday. It came out in May.
Well, we must have spoken about this.
I can't remember. We probably have spoken about Rocket Man.
Okay, well, we've touched on it. Let's touch it. Should we?
Well, all I'm saying is after that, Elton's biography came out and it was the greatest thing I've ever read. I mean, Dustpan, bloody heck, you need a garbage truck to pick up the amount of names that he dropped. It was amazing. And his relationship with Rod Stewart sounds like the best thing ever.
I've started it. It's in the bathroom, so it's my bath time. But...
Well, you need to take more baths, if that's possible. Longer baths.
It is not. What other films you got?
Well, I mean, are we going to get into Little Women? Are we going to get into it? So, what is your history with Little Women? Because, for me, I've never read it. I've never seen any other adaptations. Like, I knew people were into it.
Same.
But that's my first.
I feel like we've got the same background of Little Women, because I also have the Rifle Paper Company cover of Little Women book.
Yeah, and we both bought it because it looked nice.
Because it looked nice. Yeah. And that's it. And it's something that I've been meaning to read every Christmas, because people are like, it's nice. It's a nice Christmassy read. And I get that now, because I watched the film. And I felt like I was in a Christmas card.
So there's this podcast that I listen to, and forgive me because I've forgotten it, but one of the journalists on there came on to talk about Little Women, and she calls it a figgy puddy movie, and she also talks about Paddington 2 being like this as well, where you just want to climb in.
That is my cosy film.
Yeah, because there's also The Tiger That Came to Tea, when they go to this cafe and I just want to climb in the cafe.
Yeah.
And she calls that like figgy pudding, and I'm like, yeah. And I will credit this lady when I...
find the source.
Yeah, the source. But I just thought it was wonderful.
Oh, I loved it.
But all I can say is I can see why people are frustrated that like the same films get made with like the same lack of like inclusion. But I saw somebody tweet and they said, look, we shouldn't be annoyed that Little Women got made. We should just be annoyed that the rest of this stuff isn't getting made and new stories aren't being told. Like, I don't know. I just thought it was just in the back of my mind while I was watching it. But I mean, the costumes, the sets, when they're doing that bit, and they're dressed up in their waistcoats and their shirts, and they're doing I don't even know what they're doing, like just doing a play, aren't they?
I just feel like Bratta just did such an incredible job, and I've been watching so many of the Variety YouTube videos where they like, is it Variety or I think it is, where they break down a scene from a film.
Oh, yes, I've been watching this.
Oh, and it's so interesting. And you, like, learn about everything behind it and, like, the thought that goes into every single detail. And it gives you such a whole new respect and perspective on these things, because you're like, everything is so considered.
Oh, absolutely. What I'm really furious about is I was, when I was in LA on my honeymoon, I saw this patchwork quilted waistcoat, and I picked it up and I put it down and picked it up and I put it down and picked it up and I put it down and I left it, and I'm furious.
I did try on a waistcoat recently and I was like, cause my dad used to wear them a lot and I've got a couple of his, and I was just like, am I that person? I think I might be. I think in my head I'm Jo March. Everyone thinks that.
Yeah, I just wonder if we're going to look like Bob Geldof, like a bit Boomtown Ratsy, kind of like...
I felt like that with my dungarees and bandana and Dexy's Midnight Runners, but it's something I'm willing to do.
I mean, let's see. Let's just see what happens. Yeah. Wear a waistcoat and see if I laugh when I meet you.
Who's your favourite sister? We're all going to say Jill, aren't we?
I don't know. No, I don't think
I loved Amy.
Yeah, and then I read and everyone was like, oh, it was hard to make. Like, Amy's not always been likeable. Is it Amy that's not always been likeable?
Florence, yeah, Florence.
Whereas, like, people were like, oh, they made her likeable in this one. So, like, Jo, I don't know. I loved them all. I mean, I didn't find any... I mean,
Timmy is my favourite sister.
I would probably say that... I had a least favourite... I don't think I did have a least favourite sister. I liked them all. Sorry, I can't pick my favourite.
That's fine.
I'm not doing it.
That's fine. Right, what other films you got? I feel like I need to think of a better joiner than what else you got.
What else you got? I've got two more, and I don't even have to mention them both today. Actually, I've got three more. I'm going to mention one more, because we are cutting it for time, and that's A Marriage Story.
Oh, I've got that down.
Yeah. Like we're playing bingo.
I've got that. Bingo!
When that film was over, I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and then sobbed some more.
Did you really like it the whole way through?
No. I didn't like it at first. I was like, no, I don't need to watch this. There's a couple arguing, like, I can't relate to this at all. And then...
I can't relate to this one bit.
I don't mean it like that, but I was just like, their problems are their problems. And, you know, any problems relationship problems I might have are... my relationship problems. And then I watched it. I just thought it was, I could just see how that slippery slope happens. And I think the reason that I cried so much at the end, it was almost like a warning story, like not to like not get married or not get divorced, but just like maybe the way that we speak to each other or like the way we interpret things in a relationship. Like I mean, there was an incident that I don't ever think I could forgive. That was interesting once you learned that. But that, and again, I don't want to ruin it, but when a certain piece of paper gets found and read,
that was the crux of me where I was just like, I think that was for a lot of people the moment that everyone cracked.
Yeah, I was.
Because I cracked.
It stayed with me. Yeah. And Adam Driver, when he does the song.
Oh, strange, I thought. Me and Joe kind of looked at each other like, what's going on here?
I just think he's very theatre.
Yeah, I love him so
I just
much
thought his though. Performance was excellent. A lot of people aren't sure about Scarlett Johansson. I can see that. I can see maybe some criticisms, but I did think when she did her like monologue and the camera was on her, I was just like, this is
She's amazing. A brilliant actress. Yeah. She's so good.
I loved it, but yeah, get the tissues out.
Yeah, only towards the end though.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, all of a sudden, like, it's almost a bit like the morning show where you kind of don't know what's happened and then you're like, oh, I feel like this. And I didn't see that.
I feel quite affected, actually.
Yeah, I feel quite affected by this and I didn't know that
it was going to affect
Yeah, it just sprung up on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I think that's it. It kind of, like, builds up, and then it kind of, like, blows you and then you go, you get knocked over.
And you're like, oh, that film did me in.
Yeah,
completely. But, yeah, on Netflix. Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
Not enjoyable.
Funny watch, isn't it? It's like, it's the kind of film, I've seen another film like this recently, where I'm glad I watched it, but I probably wouldn't watch it again. I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, I would not
It's not the kind of film you're going to get a hankering for, is it?
The only way I would go in again is if you wanted to use it as like, a warning tale. So, you know, like every now and again, if you feel a bit ungrateful, you might put like It's a Wonderful Life on.
Yeah.
And be like, just learn your lesson from this film.
Yeah.
I don't know. You might just want to pop that on and go, just learn your lesson.
Yeah, you never get a craving for it, though.
No, you'd never get
a craving. It's not like Pretty Woman where you're like, or Paddington where you're like, do you know what, I really need a fix of that.
The amount that I've finally got June into Paddington too.
It's exceptional.
It's...
If you haven't watched it, I think that's... I said to someone, I think that's the reason I was put on earth is to just tell people to watch Paddington 2.
Yeah, forget all of this and just watch Paddington 2.
Just watch Paddington 2. That's, and Jamie Dimitriou from Staff Let's Flats is in it, so... That's all I can say.
The rain on the roof goes pitter patter, pitter patter.
No, that was so actually. Oh, so good.
Jack does it all the time.
Pit, pitty pat, pit, pitty pat.
And, you know, it's taken me like watching it like 20 times to realise that the scene at the end, he does that when, what is the wife, the mum called in Paddington? She is a person of her own. She's not just a wife and a mother, by the way, and I can't remember her name. But you know when she goes round to speak to Felix Buchanan, and then he tells her about the one-man show, and he does it then, and I didn't realise that that was the same one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it took me 20 watches to... Yeah, I feel like we need to credit her with a name, because I just called her a wife.
Mammy and... Paddington is... Mary Brown, it's Sally Hawkins.
Thank you. She's a great actress.
She is a fantastic actress. Fantastic wife and mother as well. yeah, I'm trying to think. Well, I've got...
What else you got? I've got a couple more. I'm going to save them for next week.
Okay, so one more film I saw, which is all up in the awards grills, is Jojo Rabbit.
I need to see this. You've told me passionately.
You really do need to see it. I was really on the fence about seeing it. I was a bit like, I don't know where I'm going to find... joy in watching a film about like Nazi Germany and that period, because I feel like that can't be a comedy.
Yeah,
but it's amazing, and it's done so well. It's done in a way that kind of, I mean, having watched an interview with Taika Waititi, who directed it, the way he talks about the reasons why he made it, and he's kind of, his perspective is very much like, I wanted to make a film that made us never forget how awful that time was, so it doesn't happen again, but also how ridiculous these people were who were implementing these regimes, because he was like, you know, because he plays Hitler in the film, which is, so basically the film is a story of a young boy in Nazi Germany whose imaginary friend is Hitler. And it's kind of like the story of them and how ridiculous it was. And he was like, oh no, I did no character research on him because he's a ridiculous man. Like, it just, I didn't want to warrant him with that kind of accuracy.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
But it's just like, it's a story about friendship. And basically the story
is... Oh, Rebel Wilson, isn't it?
Yeah, so the story is that this young boy and his mum, Scarlett Johansson, who's kind of like fighting the good fight, she's hiding a Jewish girl in their loft. And the boy finds out. And it's kind of the way they become friends. And just, it's just a really lovely story amongst this topic, which is so heart-wrenching. But just the way it's addressed, like, it has got a very serious undertone, which is obviously completely necessary. But it just makes it a film that you can watch and kind of think, oh my God, but also come away feeling like, wow, that was really beautiful. But I loved it. And I didn't expect to love it. And I went in very kind of dubious and very kind of like unsure and thinking, can this be right? Can this be a right thing to watch? And I think especially those topics have to be approached with a certain sensitivity. But I think he did an exceptional job. And I really, really, like the last scene, I keep watching it on YouTube. It's just this dance. And it's to David Bowie Heroes, but in German. And it's amazing. I cried all the tears.
Okay, I need more babysitting tokens.
You really do.
What Jack and I, at the moment, I'm going to stop mentioning Jack, I'm sorry. I've been winter, I don't leave the house a lot, and I spend a lot of time with my husband. But we're at the stage now where we're going to see separate things at the cinema. So he went to see 1917, I went to see Little Women.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll go see something else. And I think we could watch that one together.
I feel like we could both watch JoJo together.
And I know we've briefly mentioned, but... I wouldn't normally do a to-watch list, but I am going to see The Personal History of David Copperfield as soon as I can.
And Emma.
Emma, yes. I'm going to see Emma next week as well.
One thing I did watch in New York, another nominated film. I don't know if it's nominated for anything big. I think it's more for sound.
Well, maybe it can have a Fringe of It nomination.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's The Lighthouse.
Oh, what is that?
Not for you. That is what it is.
Oh, not for me. it's got Robert Pattinson in.
And Willem Dafoe. Yeah, so... I didn't know much about it, but Joe was saying, it's not out in the UK, can we see it? And I was like, yeah, of course we'll see it. Like, I've dragged you around 30 vintage shops, we'll do something for you.
Fine,
you win this time.
Don't say I never do anything.
I know. And I was like, oh, Robert Pattinson, do you like him?
Is it Pattinson?
Pattinson?
Oh, God, I've been pronouncing that wrong as well.
Why did you say Patterson?
Robert Patterson.
So I was just like, okay, I'll watch it. And I knew it was all shot in black and white, and I knew... a bit about it, but I didn't know that it was like a psychological thriller.
Oh, absolutely not for me.
I mean, watching it, like, I feel like I didn't mind it. Like, it was like, if you'd have told me it was a psychological thriller before I'd seen it, I'd have never walked into the cinema.
But there were a few
I feel like
stills from the film on IMDb, and they are terrifying.
I feel like you'd watch it like, I feel like I'm actually quite good with this kind of film, because I just watched it and my face was just like, what's going on? But it was Charlotte's covering her eyes. It was, do you know what? I never comment on this. I mean, I feel like there's a real fear of sounding really pretentious when you do comment on it, but the use of sound was exceptional. Like, it was stirring. Like, there was, at the beginning, there was so little narrative, but the use of sound just, like, runs through you. And it's just so well done. Like, I've never noticed, I'm not someone that watches a film necessarily. I mean, when I watched Joker, because it was quite scary.
I cannot believe you watched
it. I was focusing on, like, oh, the colour, like, there's a really certain use of, like...
Even the mention of the word Joker terrifies me.
There was, like, a real use of, like, blue and, like, brown, like, a real 70s tone.
Is this what you were saying while it was playing?
I was having to, like, focus on the art direction, and that was beautiful. But with this, I was like, God, the sound use is exceptional. And it was nice to see Robert Pattinson in a role like this, which I was like, it's so... I mean, I say that like I've watched his whole portfolio.
I have.
I've watched Twilight 1, 2, 3, 4.
And that other one that he was in that is really devastating.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to ruin it for anybody, but...
Is it the... I know the one.
You know the one.
I know the one.
Out of nowhere, your heart ripped out.
Can't cope.
So you'd recommend The Lighthouse?
I recommend... If you're a real film buff who doesn't mind watching something a little bit scary, very well done. Very different to anything I've seen, being like, it's all shot in like... I can't remember. I'm not... film person. Why am I bothering? Why do I sit and do a podcast?
Sorry, what was it filmed on? What do you mean?
A camera. But like the way it was all in black and white and the way it was kind of shot.
Do you mean the ratio?
Yeah. It was shot in a certain ratio.
Lovely.
Apologies. But it was, I think it was really, really well done. And actually, do you know, I was watching it and I imagined, so the director is Robert Eggers and I didn't know anything about him. And I just imagined him to be this really old guy. And he's like this really young, happening kind of guy who's like, it's his second film. He's just like incredibly talented.
Oh, 36.
And I was just like, I mean, I shouldn't be so surprised, but I think sometimes...
No, but it's, you know, I was having this conversation the other day, you know, what would you say is the age of a successful film? And they, you know, they are generally older because it takes a bloody long time to get there.
I was just so surprised because he just seemed like this really cool young guy who was just like, oh yeah,
he just
chill.
Looks like, you know... Anybody you might know.
Yeah, and he's just like to attack his wife, and I was like, cool, good for you. So yeah, I did see that, which is definitely something that I didn't expect to see. One more film. Can I squeeze out one more film?
Go on.
Blinded by the Light.
Okay, go on.
Oh.
Yeah, go on.
See, I loved it. I loved it with every inch of my being, and it was so cheesy, like so painfully cheesy, but I loved it. I loved Gurinder Chadha, who's the director, because she did Anger Songs and Perfect Snogging and Bend It Like Beckham, which are two of the highest rated films in my catalogue.
So, I wanted to love Blinded by the Light, like Bruce Springsteen, what's not to love? And I thought the first half of the film was a bit slow. I thought the second half of the film was amazing.
I cried about 8 times.
I tell you what, I watched it at, pointing at you, sorry, at a place called the Kinema in the Woods, which is this really cute independent cinema in Woodall Spa, and they have an interval.
An interval in the
films. And by the way, that used to happen when I was younger. I don't know if anybody used to, yeah, used to happen to me. And it still happens here, and sometimes as a pianist on special events, but anyway, I went to watch it there, and I found the first half, as I say, I found it a bit slow. Second half, thought it was incredible. Oh. So I don't know. I don't know if I was like in a bit of a mood, like to not enjoy the first half, because I thought the story was brilliant.
I loved the story. It was just like, unfortunately, it felt so current as well, even though it was
filmed.
I was just like, wow, like, how, like, honestly, but I loved it. There was a scene where there's a huge, like, joint sing-along scene where he's in this like square. What is the Bruce Springsteen song? Thunder Road. And they're all singing.
I'm trying not to sing.
And I was like, it's with Rob Brydon, and I was just howling. And it was just, it's.
I think Rob Brydon was my problem, and Rob Brydon should never be a problem because I'm obsessed with that man.
I think because it's like, it's almost a bit jarring. You're like, oh fuck, it's Rob Brydon.
Yeah, you're like, are you gonna do anything funny?
I loved it. I really, really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was just like
a clean. I mean, one. I'd give it a 7.5, 8 out of 10. I wouldn't.
I really enjoyed it. I just thought it was
again,
so
like Fleabag. I liked it.
I mean, it wasn't overhyped only by me.
No, I mean, maybe you hyped it too much to me, but I thought it was great. I would go again.
What did you think about Yesterday?
Oh, I liked Yesterday.
Just sliding that in really.
The question is, not that you have to pitch them against each other, would you rather watch Yesterday again or Blinded by the Light again? I think I would go for Blinded by the Light, which says a lot.
I've watched both again for different reasons.
Yeah, Yesterday.
There's a scene in Yesterday which always makes me cry, which is right at the end where he sings, "Oh, bloody, oh, blood that," with all the school children.
Yeah. So Mark Kermode did a review of Yesterday, and he said there's a scene in it which does not need to exist, and it's where he goes and visits somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And I just didn't get that. I just thought that was really in bad taste. I thought the film was great. Just take that film out. Like, take that scene out for me. Because I had those feelings, and then Jack was like, "Oh, have you listened to, like, Simon May and Mark Kermode review it?" And then Mark said that, and I was like, agree with you. Like, I don't think that I just don't know what the point of it was. Like, I just thought it was in really bad taste.
Yeah, see, I feel like I just kind of went in with rose tinted glasses, and I was like, oh, heartwarming, oh, heart. But then I guess it was just a very, I don't.
Like, there's been some great films about, like, you know, our favourite bands, like the Beatles, Bruce Springsteen, Queen,
that's
Elton John.
Thing,
like, that's not to be sniffed at, because that doesn't come up, like, those, that doesn't happen a lot.
We're very lucky that in the last few years we've been granted some goodies.
Yeah, it was good, and I'd loved Ed Sheeran in it, actually.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, see, I feel like that was a bit jarring.
Interesting.
Just because he was just like, I don't know, I'm like, are you playing Ed Sheeran or are you not? Like, who, like, do you know what I mean?
No, what's occurring there?
Like, is this Ed Sheeran? Are you Ed Sheeran? Playing Ed Sheeran, you know?
Yeah, like when Steve Coogan plays Steve Coogan, I'm like, what's going on?
I'm like,
here?
Are you actually like that? I just can't, like, my mind.
I thought Himesh Patel in that was incredible. Lily James, loved it. And that cute little town. I liked both of them. They were great films and they should be watched, but there was just something.
There was something. Love Blinded by the Light.
Yeah, maybe I need to give it another watch. It could have been my hormones. Who knows with me?
I think give it another watch. I think we've done very well going through all those films. I've got three more, but they can be for another time.
Yeah, I've got three more and I'm going to leave until next week.
I think that's a good thing, because otherwise I've nothing to talk about. I'll be like, oh, hi Charlotte, I'm like, well, episode 2, we have nothing to say.
Yeah, and we've already run out of things. So I hope this wasn't too frantic, but I was passionate about talking about TV and film.
I know, I feel like we just needed to get that off our chests.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just hope it doesn't come across as really unprofessional and overexcited, which is pretty much our brand, to be honest.
Yeah, unprofessional and overexcited. I feel like hopefully now we can just get loads of 5-star reviews and say unprofessional but overexcited.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, with questionable sound.
You can't be good at everything. Thank you so much for bearing with us. It has been a roller coaster. And we're back. And we're so excited to be back. And I hope you'll have us back.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Have a good one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.